Most people listening to this podcast will have considered some form of childcare. Babysitters, childminders, nurseries, nannies, it's a frickin' nightmare. Trying to find someone who's top-notch but flexible is the holy grail. The top-notch people seem to want to work 800 hours a week, and the flexible people, well, one budding babysitter once said to me, as long as you stay in the same room as them, it's okay, isn't it? If you're still looking for the right childcare arrangement, then maybe consider B&Co. They offer a highly individual, first-class service tailored to your needs. Their sitters are all creative people, actors, dancers, artists, which makes for a more engaging, creative experience. One sitter recently helped my kids at bath time, and when I came in the room, they were all pretending to be gorillas. But don't just take my word for it.
I looked after a little girl regularly for B&Co, who became, well, she's our goddaughter and was our flower girl at our wedding, which was really special. Yeah.
That's B&Co, who are offering £25 credit to anyone signing up using the referral code TRAPDOOR2019. Now back to the podcast. Hello and welcome back. My guest this week is Harry Peacock, an actor best known for his amazing portrayal of Matt Berry's nemesis in Toast, Ray Purchase. I think the funniest character by far in that show, but there we go. He's also appeared in The Kennedys and Star Stories and loads of other stuff. And also his father is a famous actor as well, Trevor Peacock, who's probably best known for Vicar of Dibley, has been in lots and lots of things as well. The only reason I mention that is that he talks a bit about his childhood, you know, with parents going away to perform in theatre and all that kind of thing. So you now have a face to a name. Harry is also the husband of previous guest Catherine Parkinson. So it was nice to get him in to hear the other side of the story. And when he did come in, we got straight into parenting styles.
I do think regime is the key.
Right, okay.
Personally, yeah. I have a slightly altered view with Catherine of that.
So what's your... Because you are actually the first couple that we've... So this
oh, really?
Is the first time I've interviewed both...
Mum and Dad.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So we'll get the real story now.
Yeah, we will.
So what do you differ with Catherine on that you were saying?
Well, actually, just generally in life, I'm a better timekeeper.
Right.
I put more onus on it, I think. But not in a like an anal way. I think when you get them back from school, I do have quite fixed... Like, we do a snack.
Yeah.
And then they'll watch some TV, and then I'll get supper on, then we'll eat supper. 6:15, I'll run the bath. I'll have them in the bath at 6:30.
6:30, yeah.
Out the bath, then, you know, like, pillow fights and just them in the nursery, they'll muck about and do whatever. Then about 8:15, they'll read, then I'll do books, and then bed.
Is hopefully this for by you 8. Or for them? Like, because I think that I do that for me.
Yeah. I think so.
I think it's supposed to be good for children, but actually that I quite like knowing what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah, no, weird. I hadn't thought... I think it is for me, yeah. But I think it's because you can have a break. So you do something like brush teeth, get them in the bath, and then you have, like, 5 minutes where you can sit down.
Yeah.
So it's like the pit stops for me within the...
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The thing where you can just stop and look at your phone.
Yeah.
And it is quite regimented, but then it really works. And that's because Catherine's just been doing a very long run of a theatre job.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've done bedtime. So.
Yeah.
And so that was just the routine. That's just sort of what we did. And it also meant that they wake up at exactly the same time.
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah. But they're both sort of up. And I think it just helps the kind of, you know, nature of just, you know, and them being in a groove, I think is of comfort to them,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think that's true, and I think that is...
I can't remember if that was my thing as a child, though. I just, you just don't know these things, so no. I haven't really asked my mum. But, yeah.
I think I had, not necessarily in terms of routine, but there was quite a lot of chaos in my childhood.
Yeah.
So I really, really adored any kind of, like... clear boundaries, and yeah. I loved school, I think, for that reason, that it's just like, this is when the lessons start and da da da.
Yeah.
I think maybe some people who maybe haven't had that experience think that actually what children want is, remember seeing a comedian who I won't name and his kids, and it was all like, everyone thought, this is before anyone else had kids, it was all like, oh, how cool, because they just kind of, the kids hang from the ceiling and they just do what they want and they go, you know, and even at the time I remember thinking, is that really what kids actually want? Yeah. If they could have the choice of anything.
And I actually think that that is more stressful, personally.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if you're like on holiday and you've got nothing to do apart from eat and, you know, go to bed, then, yeah, you know, I think you can kind of do that. But I think when your regime, oddly... is more relaxing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For all concerned.
Because well, you know when you have that point in the middle where you can just, you know...
I think so. If I'd gone back 10 years and heard myself say this, I'd be quite surprised,
same,
I think.
Same, I would, yeah.
But I think I've just realised that they'll just destroy you, they'll eat you alive.
Yeah, like, yeah,
and
yeah.
I remember when my parents were quite sort of... not hippies, but just sort of quite whatever, you know. And I remember going to some friend's house and we were all given one biscuit and we ate the biscuit after school and I said, can I have another biscuit? And the dad came down on me really hard and said, no, you can't. What? You just have one biscuit. And I thought, fucking hell. Like, my dad would never do that.
No, yeah.
But weirdly, I really remember it and I really remember... just the fact that, oh no, that the thing of boundaries.
Yeah, right.
And obviously I wouldn't do it as hard as that, but I've got much better quite recently at just saying no.
Yeah.
And really sticking to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And riding out the tantrum.
Yeah.
And then they forget and it's fine.
Yeah.
But like, no, you're not having that, or we're not doing that now.
Yeah.
And I just, like you say, for everyone to be... and I think... children really respond to it, and I just remember that experience and sort of I'm trying to sort of, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting. My mum worked when we were kids and my parents weren't together, so we always had like nannies and au pairs looking after us.
I had plenty of that as well.
So my mum had this theory, and I still don't know whether it's right or wrong. There's probably a bit of both in it, but that she never wanted anyone longer than a year because she didn't want us getting too attached to somebody and then them having to leave and then us going through the same thing of like when our dad left and all that kind of thing. You know, so it's all very much like, no, they're it's going to be clear what their relationship is to you. But it meant that we had, you know, so many people coming in and out.
Yeah, very similar.
As I got older, I just got like outrageously naughty in a way that I wasn't at school. But I would just, I mean, I told one, she was about to take the car to the car wash and she'd never been to a car wash before.
Mm.
And I told her that she had to, I said, you've got to be really careful because you need to remember before you go in to wind all the windows down a little bit, otherwise the water comes in.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, because I didn't care.
Yeah.
I'm 10 or something. And she goes, oh, I would never have known that. And I said, and then I got into a lot of trouble because, of course, she gets the car wash and she gets out the car, you know, and it's when you would have wound down.
Yeah.
So she got out the car and opened all the doors and carefully winding them all down. The guy in the garage is just like, what the fuck is she doing?
Yeah.
Comes running out. And then who told you that? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was kind of, I'm quite proud of it.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, it's not like I'm naturally naughty. And in fact, I hate any kind of chaos like that.
Yeah.
But it was just always, whenever a new person came for about a month, I would be quite wild in order to see, oh, okay, that's where that boundary is.
Yeah, yeah.
And with this person, that's where it is.
Yeah,
okay,
of course.
Now I know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I can carry on kind of thing. But I think that's all kids do, really.
I think so. I was a child actor as well.
Oh, wow.
And I remember chaperones particularly. And I used to do a lot of stuff like that. Like I'd lock myself in the loo until when they would be, it would be backstage and they'd be like, you know, Mrs. Peacock to the stage, and I'd hide in the loo, and it was their responsibility to get me to the stage. And I used to do it just to wind them up and then run on stage. Yeah, you see what you can get away with, I suppose.
And you don't have that, you don't have the same, like, fear or,
My dad always put the fear of God at me, but my mum was a bit of a, was a bit of a pushover, basically. Very sort of unconfrontational, so, you know.
Yeah. Would you, your experience of being a child actor, is that something you would ever do with your kids?
No, not
in any way?
Not in a chance, no. It's not an environment for children, I personally think. Yeah. And I've done lots of things with kids, and I've seen how it affects them.
And why, what do you think, what, why, how does it affect
It's them? An adult environment, simply put. It's a hard working, particularly on a set, I think. And what happens is everyone heaps an awful lot of praise because everyone's a bit nervous on the child.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so brilliant. And I've seen a really nice person, I would say, turn into an absolute monster over the course of a shoot because they obviously believe it. And I think people come onto a job and they're quite nervous, and what do you do? Oh, I'll be nice to the child. I'll say it. And everyone does it. Everyone does it. The director does it to make sure
that they're non-threatening. And
so everyone manipulates them effectively.
Oh, my God.
And if they get it wrong, they feel awful about themselves.
Yeah.
But, you know, you feel awful about yourselves if you get it wrong in your 40s.
Yeah.
So that is magnified when you're a child. You take the praise. You know, as, I think hopefully as one gets older, as an actor, you learn that the praise doesn't mean that much, and neither does the negative stuff. Yeah, you find that sort of equilibrium. And I think it's not right. It's, but then, you know, I was desperate to do it, and so you've got to strike that balance. But I think I would, with my until they're 18. I don't think they probably won't be, but you know.
See, unlike most people, I know a little bit about your story because Catherine is said. So she described your life before having kids as kind of like on the sofa, you know.
Yeah, we were just quite a sort of camp couple that just did exactly what we wanted whenever we wanted. But we met when we were quite young. We were in our early 20s, and I think we just didn't even think about having children. No, it was just like, it would be terrible. And then, of course, you know, we got married, and well, we probably should, shouldn't we? You know, and here we are. It's obviously, you know, the boring cliches of it being life changing, etc., are all true.
Yeah.
You know?
So you're. Your life was pretty indulgent, as most people's lives are before having kids.
Only because you don't know that you don't know another life to know that it is indulgent. I suppose. But you know, we were both pretty busy and just having quite nice time, really. But I mean, we're infinitely happier now because I think it's such a lovely thing to do.
How did your relationship evolve with Catherine once you'd had children? Because you'd...
I think there's no right or wrong way of mating and having children, I suppose. But we did have a good 8 years behind us as a couple and as friends.
Yeah.
Which is probably... And you know, we survived it. Yeah. And I use that word because lots of friends are... But, you know, you do. If you've had children together... and you've survived those difficult, stressful, overwhelming life experiences together, you do come out of the other end and go, if we're still holding hands, we're doing all right.
We've been through this war. That's horrible.
And I think actually now, they're 6 and 4, and are being lovely and inquisitive and funny, and you've put in the hard yard when they're, you know, of things like colic and no sleep A&E and different stressful things, which happens every time. You know, there's no avoiding those things. I think now we're quite...
you know, it's just like, oh, great.
Thank God. It's funny as well, because I think that time can be really, for some people, you know, that time is the crunch point. And for some people, that's the kind of time where they go, well, I'm not suited to this marriage or life with kids or blah, blah, blah. People can have a meltdown kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I remember my grandparents saying that, or hearing from my mum, that they said that the happiest they were was in their, when they were retired. I think my gran was 19, really? 19 when they got married. And I had always thought of them as happy. You know, I think they were generally pretty happy married. But I remember thinking that was a really good thing to remember.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, actually, it's a long...
It's a marathon.
Yeah. And that there are going to be pockets of it that are going to be really tricky. And then you know, I imagine that their retirement was all the better for having had all the other bits before.
I think that's what it's taught me, you know, many things. But one of them is, if it's hard, difficult life experience and hard work is really good for you. Because you realise what you've got, you appreciate simple things like getting 7 hours sleep.
Yeah.
Eating well.
Yeah.
You know, it's a sunny day. I think those things, it's been invaluable for that, you know. Just like going, oh, I've got, this is great, you know. Yeah. I think you do see the world a bit differently. I mean, I think that's true.
There was a thing,
but
recently.
I am always very wary when I speak about this with other parents that people, lots of my friends haven't had children. You sort of think, all of a sudden, you know, it's like you're in a club and they're not, and I always.
Yeah, you.
It's difficult.
But it is funny because I feel quite conscious when I do this podcast, because it's much easier to kind of talk about the things that are hard and that you lose when you become a parent and all that kind of thing. And we've had lots of conversations about that. But actually, kind of almost the more awkward conversation is how good it is because of that. Because, you know, I had children quite late, so I was very sensitive to those kind of conversations. Like, you know, when people would say, the thing used to always annoy me when people would say, well, you see, the thing is, you know, until you have children, you don't understand
about anything.
X, Y, or Z. You think, well, I do. I have, do you know what I mean? I understand if a child dies, I understand that it's awful, awful.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm not, you know, that. So there's that. That's been quite a useful experience. But also, I think it is just, it's very difficult because of that to talk about how wonderful it is. And I found that the most surprising thing when I had children, because I was totally prepped for the nightmares of childbirth and the da-da-da-da. And actually, as I talked to Catherine about, you know, childbirth was an incredible experience.
Yeah,
you know,
amazing.
I just have to think about it, and I want to cry.
I definitely have envy about that.
Do you?
Oh, definitely. I think lots of men probably do. They're just sort of the opposite of penis envy, you know. It's sort of like, I'm never going to do it. They grew inside them, you know. And that's, you know, however involved one is as a father with your children, you've never done that. But I think that probably does put a different thing on how you parent, that possibly without even knowing it, like quite naturally you parent slightly with an arm's length, like that you're always, whereas the mother is always so close. Possibly the father's role is to be a bit, you know, always present and there.
Yes, but sort of.
But not quite as maternal. Although, you know, they're all over me and I'm very extremely tactile with them and hug them constantly, you know. But you never have that.
It's a funny thing. But I think it's a difficult thing to talk about. I feel really conscious with this because I still feel like, because of course you're always thinking, maybe one day my children will listen to this and they'll just hear me going, oh, it's a nightmare, I can't sleep, and all this kind of thing. And you're going, no, actually.
Well, that's the other thing. I know a friend who, you know, your friends who sort of have children first. I had a mate who was in his early 20s and then it was like nuts, you know, which is odd because I think probably that's when people should have kids.
Physically,
But And he said, what you really think about is your mum and dad and what it was like for them.
Yeah.
And of course you do. And it's a big part of your separation, I think, with your parents, of seeing them as people.
Yeah.
Rather than your mum and dad, you know, which obviously happens as you get older, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that really speeds up that thing of like, oh God, what my dad would have been that age when I did that.
Yes.
And my mum would have been there in her life and thinking, you know.
Yeah.
And you do sort of put those, that jigsaw together.
It's not until you have children, until it's almost like that's the complete circle in terms of your relationship with your parents.
Yeah. But
that's when you can finally kind of understand things both for good and for bad.
Absolutely.
You know, how has having children made you look at your parents in a different way?
I just think you realise the responsibility that they had. I mean, my dad is a lot older than my mum, like 25 years older, I think.
Right.
And when they met, everyone was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then 3 months later, they conceived me.
Right.
So I come from a kind of... But then they're absolute love match.
Yeah.
And have stayed together ever since. You know, sadly,
yeah.
My dad's in a home now, you know. He's got dementia and stuff. But they're an absolute... But I just sort of... I can see, you know, just the responsibility that they both had.
Yeah.
The joy of it.
Yeah,
the sort of life-changing moments, but also the sort of what next? How do we do to navigate this and all that? And actually, the way I did it with Catherine was far more conventional and stable
than what they did.
And
But then it's funny because actually going back to what you were saying about, you know, which I think is true, you know, you had a really good bedrock. You know, you'd been together for 8 years.
Which probably has its pros and cons.
Well, yeah, but actually,
I think it has more pros.
Because I've definitely... Because you know. I was more your parent style.
Right.
So we were together for about... I should know this. Hang on. We were together for 7 months. We got pregnant after 7 months being together.
Wow, yeah.
And... But I've sort of always said... or felt that in a way that was quite good because we happened to be very well suited.
Yeah.
But we were still in the honeymoon period. So
yeah.
We still really liked each other.
Yeah.
So we were still kind of like, oh, well, let's, you know, so which actually helped us ride through through. That really helped.
I can imagine, yeah.
And maybe the key is you just have to be in a good relationship and you just don't necessarily know whether you are or not
until you
ride through the storm kind of
thing. Well, it's funny, when I met Catherine, I was very quick. I asked her to marry her very quickly, and she was like, what are you talking about, you know? But I had a slightly different take, because my parents didn't get married either for a while, so I sort of went, well, why don't we have some kids? Let's have kids then.
Yeah.
But we were like 23.
Yeah,
and she was like, are you kidding, you know? So she just thought I was mad.
Yeah.
And it would have been... I don't know. It might have been fine, but you just don't know. But I think we did it at the right time. But who knows?
Well, you know. You did, because that's when you did it.
Exactly.
So,
therefore it is. Yeah.
I sometimes think. There's a friend of mine who said to me recently, she's pregnant with her second child, and she's 44. She turned to me and she went, and I'm 43. And she turned to me and she went, are you knackered? And it was like suddenly I had this realization where I was like, oh yeah, maybe it's also, yes, I have young children, but maybe it also has something to do with the fact that I'm in my early 40s and I'm probably not supposed to be running after two children.
It's a very difficult thing to come to terms with, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that you are getting older, that thing, and having children when you do, you know, it's. But yeah, you know, I mean, go to bed at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I go to bed at 10, I get up at 6:30. I don't really drink that much anymore.
But maybe that's easier to deal with when you are older. If you had to do that at 23, you'd be like, oh no,
I just couldn't handle it. And I did, my teens and all of my 20s, I did far too much of that.
Creatively, how has having children kind of affected your work and your sort of sense of self in terms of all of that?
Well, I think it certainly focuses the synapses. I think you use your time. If you've got, you know, what I do the podcast, Brian and Roger, I do that. We write that. And, you know, I have little moments within the day when they're at school, obviously, as well. But no, I think creatively, I don't think I was probably a similar sort of ability throughout my 20s, but I was just an actor rather than a writer as well. Mm-hmm. But now I'm just a lot more focused and like, get on with it. Just get on with it, do it, execute, deliver.
Yeah.
Whereas I think in my sort of 20s, 30s, I was a bit more meandery. And, you know, you have time, of course, you know, like, to go and do like a play or you know, you just need, if you're away from home and you need to, that doesn't mean anything. When you have children, things like that, it's just impossible, basically.
Yeah.
So Catherine can do plays now, but I've sort of just gone, no, for at least a few years because it's just too complex.
And she said, I think you did a play at the same time.
We did. It was a nightmare. Our first had just been born.
Right, yeah.
And, yeah, you're all over the place emotionally. And I think Catherine's mum came and just lived and helped with number one. And I think when you're doing a play, it depends what it is, but an awful lot of your sort of focus has to go on that to execute it and do it.
Yeah.
To the best of your ability.
Yeah.
I was quite challenged by the idea of worrying about my children and doing that, you know.
Yeah.
And I think one of us has to be sort of around.
Yeah, yeah.
For emotion, for the, not that when the other one's working, we're not, but if you're both doing it.
Yeah.
Both my parents are actors and they would both be away and we had au pairs a lot. And, and unfortunately, I do think it didn't like damage me, but I'm really aware of it.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And I used to call it nasty theatre.
You're right.
You know, because Dad would just go.
Yeah.
And then, or they'd be on tour together. Sometimes we'd go with them a bit, but not really. And they were in Manchester a lot and we lived in London.
Yeah.
And I think I've got a really complex, a really complex relationship with theatre because it's sort of everything.
It took them away.
And I sort of, I love it and hate it and don't want to know about it and get very, but also it's so intrinsically part of why I'm here because they met doing a play together, you know, so I can't really hide from that, but I've definitely a complicated relationship, you know.
That's really interesting. I guess it's different, isn't it? Because we did have nannies and stuff. But also my mum was around at the very beginning, as it were, like when we were little.
Mm.
Like, you know, she only started working full time when I was probably about 8. So that's already like that's slightly different. But also she was around in the evenings.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And I talked with Catherine about that mop-up time after school. And just like, especially as your kids get older, you know, it's that thing of kind of like, you know, something's occurred to them or something's happened during the day or they've had an argument with a friend. And so that's the point at where they go, and they can unpack with
not,
you.
Not knowing the detail.
Yeah,
I did a job and I had to go away for about 8 weeks. And I hadn't been away from either of them. And I was doing, you know, was very present and then not for that period of time. And it did me in.
Yeah.
And it really, I remember when I came back, our first didn't leave me for like days.
Yeah.
She slept on top of me every night. I mean, it was very like, oh, I really have to think about whether I'm doing this again. Yeah. And to be honest, like, opportunities have arisen to go away. And I sort of don't sabotage the audition, but I sort of go in because my agent's like, well, of course you've got to do this.
Yeah.
But because I'm not the sole breadwinner and Catherine is very successful, I think there is a side of me going, I don't know if this is worth it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, I wonder if, because I think I do, you know, David is brings in, you know, David's very successful and brings in more than I do, which means that maybe because I can, there are decisions that I make that I would absolutely not have made.
I think so.
Had I not had children, or
exactly. If we didn't have, anyway, it's so hypothetical. But now, you have to basically go, I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father.
Yeah.
And I want to be quite a good actor.
Yeah.
Obviously with that. Yeah. But it is third.
Yeah.
And if that means doing A, B, C, and D, you just do it. You don't really. Think too much about that.
I feel also while they're young, it's about keeping that plate spinning.
Yeah, yeah.
But it doesn't need to, I kind of have accepted it's not going to be the best.
No.
It's just going to be like, it's in the air still. Yeah, yeah. And that's great, and that'll do.
And I think as well, often, like, you know, when the girls were born, I was working a bit, but not that much. And then weirdly, you stop caring. Of course, that's when you start getting quite a lot of what I was goodness.
Exactly.
And that's when I was making Toast to London and did the Kennedys with Catherine. I was filming a lot. It was like weird, you know. But I think it ebbs and flows, work like that. And basically, I am a stay-at-home dad, basically.
Right, yeah.
And if it's sort of lucrative and is only a few days' work, then of course.
Then great, yeah.
But anything beyond that does become very, very sort of complex, you know.
And does that, how does that work or sit with you in that sense? Because I think I know a lot of men in your situation who, and actually I find actors tend to find it easier because lots of your contemporaries are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But also there is like a you know, do you find at the school gates you are...
Oh, I'm a total anomaly at the school gate. Right. They all just think I'm a weirdo.
Right.
They're all dentists and lawyers and bankers and stuff, and it's just a bit... They're just quite confused by it, you know.
Yeah.
I think they just think, they just think you're really eccentric. It's like, but I'm not. How am I? What am I? I'm not. Am I? You know.
Yeah.
And then I realise I might look a bit different, maybe, or just be it. But
it's almost like being at school again yourself.
It is a bit. Yeah. It's funny. We did the school sports day yesterday, and
lovely weather for
it. But it is. The school gate, that's a whole other... Yeah. You could have a whole podcast about that. Politics, Big Little Lies.
Yes, exactly. Because I realise it makes me... I mean, my kids are only at nursery.
How old?
They're 2 and 3.
Right, okay.
So, and they go to this nursery... I've got to be careful about it, because I do sometimes slag it off. I realise it's like totally... Like, the link to this podcast is on my auto signature. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's totally easy for any of them to listen to it and then go, hang on a fucking second.
Bitch. But
like, and also like, who's making you send your kids here? But like, it was just a long, complicated decision-making process. But they're at a quite kind of... The weird thing is because I don't work all the time, but I do need some time to do stuff.
Yeah, so likewise.
So, The easiest thing for us to do was to put them in this nursery where they just go in the mornings. So it's like they have fun, there are other kids there, stuff to play, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I didn't need to do the kind of 8 till 6 because they don't have that kind of working day.
No.
So that's what we decided to do. But it is a little bit, those kind of places are a little bit preppy. Like, so it's not kind of, doesn't necessarily have the vibe that I would, that I would choose for school kind of thing. But then I sort of wonder whether I would just feel like this anyway. And I just feel like, oh, hang on, they're not, you know, like, do I fit in? Do they fit in? You know, all these kind of things that I get really anxious about.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was talking to friends last night who I went to school with and their kids are older and they were like, because I was going, I mean, denominational schools, you know, and they were like, do you know, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. Your kids are going to be who they're going to be, and you're going to be their influence, blah, 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 and you can't control it.
And, I think there's no right or wrong with these things. I think, you know, I mean, you can have your opinions. I think that, you know, parents should try and be with their children as much as possible, but it sounds so bleeding obvious.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I've had time over a summer holiday if Catherine's been busy, it's just been me and those two. Yeah. We've turned into like a pack of wolves, and I just sort of, you know, we go around on our scooters together, and it's just a bit like this man. I'm like, is this is this really good for them? I don't know.
And also, I mean, the more time I spend with them, the more the sort of less energy I have.
Definitely.
And so I kind of sit on the sofa and do nothing rather than, you know.
But I think it's good to be able to, you know, because that thing, if you've been working a lot, you come back and you sort of pander to them. Actually, getting cross with them and being a bit bored at them is probably really helpful.
Well, that's lucky.
You know.
So going back to the school gates, do you have, are there other dads that you feel like you can nod and...
I mean, that's the thing, because I did a lot of the play groups and stuff like that, and I, you know, I go to yoga as well, and I'm like the only bloke.
Yeah.
And it's this sort of funny novelty thing at sort of, you know, monkey music or whatever, where you're like the dad, and everyone's like, you know, you become this sort of focal point of people who can take the piss out of you and things like this. It's quite weird. And if there's another dad in those situations, you're sort of forced to go and be friends with them because they've also got a penis, you know. It's quite weird. It's like, actually, I get on really well with these women. But I do, you know, I'm not like a blokey bloke, but I do like rugby and boxing and, you know, lots of... But, so it is quite nice at the school gate with some of the dads, so I can just talk to about things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that I couldn't talk to women about boxing and rugby, but more often
but
than not...
sport tends to be that, kind of,
And, yeah, there are a few, but not really.
No.
You know, not people that I really click with.
No,
you know. No, you know. But then there's a few, you know, we get on well with them and it's a nice school. I don't think anywhere's perfect, like you said, with you know. I don't think anywhere's perfect, but it's near and they seem nice, the teachers seem nice, you know.
That was interesting, but why don't we talk about something else now?
Could do this for hours.
I find it so interesting.
Oh, it was amazing.
It's all I talk about.
I could do this for hours.
Good.
You know, yeah. Because you don't get the chance to get all this, you know.
And it is funny. I mean, I've said this before, but there is a thing where I was very tentative. You know, when I knew that I was recently asked to do a sort of interview about, to review my favourite parenting podcast. And I was like, this is awkward because I hate them. I mean, I don't even listen. If I'm honest, I don't even listen. I see the pictures on iTunes and I think, ooh, kind of like dishevelled women scratching their heads and you know, it looks like the poster for Three Men and a Baby.
Oh, gosh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're like,
it's funny, it's what comedy posters you always see.
Yeah.
There is no way, you just all look like ourselves.
Yeah, don't ever try and make a comedy poster.
No.
Ever.
And just do like cross eyes or something.
In Edinburgh the first year does Edinburgh. That's what you learn.
Yeah.
But doesn't stop people from trying.
No, of course.
Yeah.
And you've got to put something on it.
Yeah, well, there you go. I think the thing at the moment, isn't it, is scratching the head and the mic. You know, for stand-ups.
Oh, my God.
Hate
themselves.
Ugh. So that was the thing. I didn't really listen to them. But then I thought, but I do really like talking about it. You know, I love hearing from other people and then thinking, oh, God, we're all standing at the school gates thinking there's no one like us.
Yes,
but we're all thinking that.
Yeah. And, of course, we have bonds.
We
have children in common, of course.
And
that is the key to it, I think.
Yeah.
Is to see the good in everyone. Otherwise, you can just turn up and go, I hate this.
Yeah.
I hate you all. You know.
Yeah.
And also know that some days you don't have to say hello to someone, and that it's bad. You know. But the politics is it's so over. It's just, you know, you get very good at like being like the queen, being quite sort of neutral and polite to everyone.
Yeah.
But not over friendly with anyone, because I can see it as well when you do engage someone, then you think, oh God, I'm really boring them. Oh my God, you know, sorry.
And also, I overheard a conversation between two people outside nursery the other day, and they were saying, oh, it's nice to see that, I don't know, a Jenny and Mary. No, kids are called Jenny and Mary now. Do you know what I mean? But it's nice to see that they're getting on so well. And then there's a pause, and one of the parents goes, "We should do a play date."
Mm.
And then there's a really long pause. Yeah. And I think the other parent, I think that, do you know what? The play date offer was from a dad. And then the mother went, let's. She said something really like so open-ended, like, let's have a think about dates.
Oh, brilliant.
Or let's, which is basically
show business, we all know we're all quite good at that.
Yeah.
Let's do a lunch. Definitely.
Let's do a lunch. I'll text you.
I'll text you in a month. Yeah.
And it was really funny to listen to it, thinking that's exactly what I would say.
Yeah,
it was really
But we've done.
And they probably really like each other. You know, there's not. Yeah, you know, it's just a thing of like, oh god,
Well, our last play date, my youngest gets on very well with this Chinese girl, and the mum doesn't speak very good English,
mm-hmm.
and the dad works in the prison service in England. It's really random. Wow. And they don't speak English, and they came over for a day, and it was beyond diehard. It was just like, what do we do? You know, and just difficult language barrier, you know, what do we say? Just cultural, huge, you know. She also revealed about an hour into the play date that she had breast cancer.
Oh.
And it was just like, okay.
With limited language.
Yeah, exactly. So trying to have a difficult talk about that with pidgin English and just... But our children really like each other.
Had a great time.
And that is important to us both. And so we will make this happen, you know. But boy, you know, you don't look forward to them.
How long does it get? How long is your average play date?
Oh, I suppose about... 2 hours, I suppose.
I don't think you can do it for less than that.
Yeah. No. And you know, I mean...
But we didn't do that, did we, as kids? I was just dropped off.
Yeah, definitely.
There's a lot of that.
And it was more with, like, neighbours.
Yes, definitely.
It was like neighbours' kids.
Yeah.
And I used to go to the end and shout their name and we'd jump over a few gardens and play together. And I suppose it was all a bit more innocent
And lax.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there are any kids down the road. There aren't.
Right, yeah.
Or maybe, yeah. But play dates die hard.
Yeah, wow. There's not an assumption of me that I'll ever go back and be working like a lot. Whereas now they're both at school, are you going to do?
I don't know. I mean, it's shifting sands at the moment. It really is. It is changing that. I think, and it's absolutely as it should be. You know, that is like blurred the lines of who should be doing more childcare or whether which one will go back to work or not. So no, I haven't really. Also, I think being an actor, you're pretty on and off.
Yeah.
In your life beforehand,
from that conversation.
So it's not like yes, I must go back to the publishing
house.
Or to whatever, you know. It's not really like that, is it? But
no.
I suppose do you mainly interview people from?
Yes, so it's industry, kind of the same.
Show business.
Although, it's different. I interviewed Fergus Craig.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Has he got kids now?
He's got a little boy, yeah. He's just turned two.
I know Fergus from Star Stories years ago.
Yeah. So he was... And I feel bad because he was an early one. I often quote him in... He's a very good friend of mine. And I go, well, Fergus said... And I realise that I'm making this point literally last forever, because if you didn't hear his episode, you'll just hear me repeating what he said throughout the thing. So he might not still think this. It's quite important to say. But you know, I think at the very beginning, and what I found really interesting talking to him, is that a lot of his kind of insecurities about his creativity and himself, and I think as a writer really, kind of going, hang on, I don't have the time, I can't justify taking all that time to go and write somewhere and, you know, and all that kind of thing. I need to look after my kid and I want to look after my kid. And all the confusion that comes with that, you know, it takes quite a, you know, it's not like you have a baby and then you're immediately a parent. I would say it takes at least a sort of year kind of landing.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could argue it takes 10.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, I think I'm still very much sometimes wake up and think, oh my God, what are, you know, but yeah. I think that's probably, it's good that I am with them all the time because you do normalise it. And I think that's, you know, but yeah, but still, I'm sure we'll have that. I sometimes look at them and just think, there they are.
Yeah.
Where have they come from? You know, what do we do now?
Yeah.
You know, but I suppose that doesn't go into the end of your life, really.
It's no,
it must happen. Yeah.
It just sort of lessens in intensity, I imagine.
Or ebbs and flows. Yeah, sort of. There's times where you don't think like that at all, thank God. Otherwise, it would always be incredibly intense and overwhelming. Yeah.
Going back to what you were saying about it's not like you're going into a company or an office or a publishing house, whatever. One of the guys I used to be in a sketch group with, his father-in-law, who was very traditional, or is, I imagine, still, very traditional and kind of, you know, like, kind of old school, and kind of probably somewhere in his heart wanted his daughter to have married someone who was a lawyer or a banker or whatever, used to talk about, and we were doing sketch comedy in pubs to, like, 50 people if we were lucky.
Yeah.
And he'd always turn to this guy and say, you know, how's the business? It was always referred to as the business, which was really funny because the business was, you know, 5 o'clock running to a fancy dress shop to get, like, a penguin costume. Do you know what I mean? That you'd end up using in a sketch that you realised was shit and you never used it again.
God.
You know, and it was just really funny that kind of, like, the expectations of the real world in adversity.
Well, the pros and cons of that. I mean, I look at my friends who have got 9-to-5s and stuff like that, and I now think, oh, it must be quite nice in a way just to have that continuity and know how much money you're earning and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I've never known that.
Yeah.
I've only ever known, oh, I'm doing really well, or, oh, my God, am I going to prison because I can't pay a tax bill? And it's got quite light somewhere in between, I think.
Yeah.
But,
I used to do that, but it also... The thing is, the thing that you would always miss if you ever did something like that is when you do the sort of thing that we do, there's always the winning the lottery is always around the corner. It could always happen tomorrow.
Yeah,
and it could happen tomorrow in your 70s.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, oh, well, I'm a data programmer and this is going to be, you know what I mean?
No, that's true.
You know, it is just that thing that whenever I've had an office job, I've missed. Because it is that thing of, like, I can't, you know, it could be, you could suddenly get a call and it's a big voiceover.
I know.
And it's
I'm in Morocco and I'm flying in a helicopter doing a scene with Julianne Moore.
It's like, I like that element of lottery in my life, even with children, you know, it's quite
but
good.
But there is a sacrifice for that.
There is a huge, huge sacrifice.
Which, you know, that's why they want my children to be actors.
Please. What's the worst thing anyone's ever said to you in terms of kids? And, you know, either a sort of bit of judgmental comment or a bit of advice or...
One that really sticks out, we're going through Greenwich Market and it was winter, cold, really cold. Mm. And I had number two in the pushchair and we were going through and she just was refusing to put her hat on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just refusing.
I can see that.
And I tried, like, 12 times, you know, you must put it on, it's free, etc., etc. Then we go for a lady for running one of the stalls, went, what are you doing? That girl should have a... She should be wearing... And I hadn't slept much, and it was just like, do you not think I've tried? Yeah. You know, like, it was, and I just remember getting so angry about it, because it
did
was just...
Did you get angry at her, or I
explained to her, I said, she won't put it on. I think I actually said, go on, you try and put it on her, or something like that. Really kind of childish.
But almost desperate, but like, because actually, if you can,
maybe you can, yeah, fine.
If you know the secret
to
this, please
but
help
you,
me.
And then probably something even worse, like, have you got kids?
Yeah.
You turn into someone horrible.
I would have done that.
But I think I think you probably, you just forget, don't you, like when you learn a driver and you sort of think, I'm going to be really nice when I'm a driver, and then of course you're sitting behind sort of learn the driver going,
yeah,
come on,
yeah,
you
know? Yeah, yeah.
So you just forget, but yeah, that sticks out.
Yeah, but you don't, there's a certain type of person that will, and this is like whenever I ask that question, pretty much always there's a, is a comment like, it's unwanted, someone telling you, it's like, of course I know my kid needs to wear a hat,
yeah,
but my,
yeah,
kid won't put a hat on.
It's just not happening.
And
you know,
they're old enough to just, yeah, take it off and drop it on the floor and take it off and drop it on the floor, yeah, and scream at you and writhe and whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, so,
yeah,
yeah, no, I mean, I've been there. Yeah, that's, yeah, my... And what would you, what would be your advice to somebody who was just about to have their first baby?
Well, I think I wouldn't give them any advice at all. And I just, that's it.
You'd wait.
Because so many people give you so, yeah, much bloody advice.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that every situation is different. I mean, there are obviously lots of things, you know, not getting sleep and stuff initially and those things, which are very paramount, on the top of the list. But no, you just got to jump in the deep end, you know. Good luck.
What would you...
Oh, no, actually, if I'm really, I'd say... Just keep loving each other.
Oh, like, that's nice.
Because if you don't, you're fucked. Yeah. There you go.
Lovely, smart advice there from Harry Peacock. In the podcast, I mentioned that I never listen to parenting podcasts, which is true, but I was recently asked to pick my favourite, which was a bit of a challenge. So I actually did find one called The Longest Shortest Time, which is an American podcast, kind of like looking at parenting and families in a kind of NPR, This American Life kind of way. In other words, journalistically, unlike this podcast. But I just love it. I've been listening to it ever since. There's so many amazing episodes. There's one featuring a comedian, W. Kamau Bell, who interviews his mother about her sex life, which is incredible. Like, really funny, but really weirdly moving as well. So I recommend that. And also, Harry has his own podcast with Dan Skinner, which is called Brian and Roger, which is a sort of character kind of sitcom thing, which is very, very funny. So I do recommend that too. Next week, we have the playwright Sadie Hasler, who I've known for a long time through Edinburgh Festival days and stuff like that. And thought she'd be very interesting. So her daughter's just turned one. And the last time I probably saw her was when she'd just written a play about how, you know, how irritating it is as a woman in your 30s to deal with the assumption that having kids is the be-all and end-all. I'm just interested to see whether she's changed her mind having had her daughter. But yeah, that should be pretty good. So that's on in a couple of weeks. Till then, have a good few weeks.
Bye-bye.